when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Welcome to the SyrupCast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who continues to insist that I refer to him as the bad boy of tech. He's across the internet from me. He's got a new angle on his camera. I always love your apartment. I love it. Love the background.
You guys can't actually even see what the finished angle will be this time, because I have my other camera set up way over there at an actual like nice angle. Alex and I are in the middle of like kind of trying to rearrange our space a little bit. So I'm currently in what used to be her office. That is also half our living room. So fun new angle for the podcast.
Is that your living room though?
Yeah, this is technically the living room. Like behind me, maybe you can see it. There's a couch.
Yeah. I recognize the shelves.
Deep on the other side is the like studio.
cool. Dean is also on the show this week because he says that he no longer uses Android devices and he's never going to write about them anymore. So he's on the Apple episode of the podcast. How are you doing, Dean?
All of that's a lie. Don't tell my Android fans that.
You came into work yesterday and you said, my name is Dean Jobs.
I'm good. This is all a lie, but I'm pretty good and I love being Android still, kind of.
I don't believe you. I think you're lying.
And this guy will fold when he gets the chance.
Yeah, he definitely will. And last but definitely not least, we have tech YouTuber and influencer Siobhan Selman on the show this week. How are you doing, Siobhan?
Feeling good. I'm excited to actually talk about the iPhones and like, you know, just hear everyone's reaction to it and stuff like that. But yeah, pretty excited to be here.
Cool. You've come to the right place. That's one thing that we talk a lot about is Apple stuff, probably too much.
Yeah, honestly.
So this is a pretty big episode this week. We're going to break down Apple's event from last week. We're also going to delve into my hands-on impressions and some of my reviews since the embargoes for everything will be lifted by the time this podcast goes out. I'm super deep into the review process. At this time, like my iPhone 14 Pro and my iPhone 14 review is live. Still working on the Apple Watch Series 6.
Series 8.
Oh, Series 8. Yeah, sorry. All the numbers. It's been a long time, man. It's been a crazy couple days. And then there's like some other stuff that I can't quite talk about yet because the embargoes don't lift for a while. But let's get into it. First off, I just wanted to talk about the Far Out event in general. And kind of go across the panel here and see what everybody thinks of it. Dean, what did you think of the event?
I thought it was all right. I mean, nothing like super like crazy new. I was surprised to see an Apple Watch Ultra for me. That was what was like, oh, that's new. But otherwise, the event, I don't know. It just kind of felt like, compared to Google I/O, where Google was like, here's a Pixel 7 and a Pixel Watch and a Pixel tablet or something next year. Yeah, compared to all that, it was just kind of like, oh, all right, well, this is what we expected and nothing crazy.
It was a lot of stuff, though.
Surprising. Yeah, it was a lot of stuff.
It's more or less how I felt, too. So here's a question for you quickly, Dean. Would you wear the Ultra or do you think it's too big?
Oh, yeah.
God, no. No, it's not for me. I don't go hiking. I mean, I want to try scuba diving, but I don't scuba dive. I don't go hiking. I really want to wear like anything on my wrist, much less like a huge piece of ultra-ness.
Cool.
Yeah.
Bennett, what about you? What did you think about the event?
Similar to Dean, yeah. Like, it didn't feel like super, super exciting because of everything that we kind of expected and like, a lot of the stuff was just like iterations on existing products. So it's like new AirPod Pros. It's like, they look like old AirPod Pros. New Apple Watch Series 8, Apple Watch SE. It's like, those are like completely pretty much the same. The Ultra was like new and kind of exciting and had like the cool product video. But yeah, similar to Dean, I probably wouldn't wear it. I do like the idea of putting it on a big chain. But that's kind of all I've done.
Are you going to make a video about that again?
I don't know. I don't know. Last time it didn't really work. And like, I would need to find like a much nicer chain, I think, than last time. But I don't know. It's kind of a cool device. It'll be interesting to see like where they go with it in the future. And I think like coming up whenever the embargoes for it lift, I think it might be some of the more fun reviews to watch. Hopefully like some like action people got them and we see like some people scuba diving with it or like something kind of intense. Cause I do want to see it like push to its limits. And I think that might be interesting. And yeah, then beyond that, iPhone cameras always excite me. And that's all I got.
I'm more excited to see what other people do with their Apple Watch Ultra reviews, because I think you're going to see a lot of, like, someone's going to take it scuba diving, right? Like, that's going to be part of someone's review, and they're going to film like an on-camera segment of a review underwater or something like that. Like, people with far more resources than Mobile Surf will be doing some really cool stuff with it. And I'm excited to see that. Yeah,
I know. It sucks that we had to budget cut out our scuba gear, but maybe next year.
It didn't fit in the Q1 2023 budget, unfortunately.
Yeah. They always say, like, you want scuba gear in the winter? And we're like, no, we don't want it now. It's cheaper though, and apparently.
Siobhan, what about you? What did you think about the event?
I think the event was kind of underwhelming. There's a couple things that caught me by surprise, like the Apple Watch Ultra. Also, the new AirPods. That's how used to them, like Apple being not upgrading stuff. As Brad said, it was not like a crazy visual overhaul, but I do appreciate like the new little features, the case, how you could charge it with the Apple Watch, and also, you know, the volume control, the capacitive buttons. Like, those are fun stuff I want to try out. And I also just want to know, does it actually sound better? Does it fit better than the previous gen? When it came to the iPhone, I was like, bruh, the same thing. But dynamic notch, the dynamic island thing is kind of cool. You know, I can't really speak on it too much because I haven't actually tried it before, but there's so many more, like tons more features I wanted to see Apple add, like Touch ID on the side buttons, stuff like that, reverse wireless charging, you know, just small little features that would just make it more exciting. But for now, it's just like the same body. The 14 is basically the 13, new cameras, I guess, crash detection, I guess. But yeah, aside from that, it was like, all right, cool.
New That's iPhones. Actually a good point. We didn't really talk about like crash detection and like the satellite location thing. There's like that undercurrent of like Apple being like, you need us, we'll save you now, which was something that we hadn't really seen before.
Yeah, that segue is good into like the next thing we're going to talk about is the iPhone 14 Pro and the Pro Max. Yeah, perfect.
The iPhone 14 Pro doesn't have reverse wireless charging still?
No.
Did I just skip over that in my head? I think assumed
it's
had
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
I actually assumed it had it too.
But the AirPods Pro will charge on your Apple Watch charger.
I hate that. I do like it.
Why do you hate that? What does it matter?
I just really wanted them to have USB-C because, like, when I travel, last cable that I'm always like, do I bring this is the Apple Watch charger. It's like, do I leave my Apple Watch or do I, like, bring the Apple Watch charger? Because it's, like, just a long, crazy cord and, like, you got to bring another brick for it and, like, it's just one extra thing to worry about charging. But if it was USB-C, I don't know. Just, like, the Apple Watch charger doesn't add a lot to me. But it is kind of cool, I guess, to have it, like, maybe beside your bed or something.
I guess it should have been like that before. Yeah, everything Apple should be USB Type-C. They already have the MacBooks. They have the iPads. It's way faster to transfer files. I'm not sure about the, like, regular consumers, but I transfer files a lot, camera testings and stuff like that. It would be such a breeze to, you know, transfer those quicker and just have everything running on USB Type-C. Get rid of the Lightning port. We don't need it anymore. It's slow. It's old. It's annoying. USB Type-C, exactly. Everything.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we can put it on the Apple Watch charger. And it's just like, who, like, there's like 12 people out there that are like, I got that extra Apple Watch charger that'll finally come. Yeah.
I think next year is the year. Next year, we'll see them switch
to USB-C.
That's what
we said, like, 2 years
ago. Yeah, I hear that all the time.
This time they have to, though.
Now that they added the Apple Watch charger, maybe they just take the port off. They're like, you don't need it. You Apple Watch charge, you MagSafe, or you, that's it. I don't know. That's crazy.
Because of the EU, like, I truly, truly think it'll be next year just because they have a deadline. Yeah. They're not going to make two different versions of the phone. Though, that said, they did do that this year. Like, in the US, there is no SIM card slot. It's all eSIM only. Here, we have a different version of it. So maybe they'll just go USB-C in Europe and Lightning still here.
That would be crazy. But
it would be crazy, but it's possible.
They would definitely do it, yeah.
But generally, like, I don't know. I don't know where we want to start here. Like, for me, the most exciting thing was the Dynamic Island. Like, Brad and I filmed a whole video about it. I talk about it a lot in my review that's on Mobile Syrup. It's really, really cool. It's probably one of the coolest things that I've seen UI-wise from a smartphone manufacturer in, like, I don't know, 5 years. It's super neat. But that said, like, I want to hedge a bit because third-party support is non-existent. Like, it doesn't work with any Google apps. I'm, like, one of the rare iPhone users that I use Apple products, but I live in, like, a Google services world. I don't really use any Apple apps. And, like, none of those work with it yet. Do I think that's going to change? 100%. But it could take a little bit of time, right? So at the outset, the dynamic island's really neat, but it's not quite there. So I just wanted to gauge what you guys think about the dynamic island, because I think that's the, like, key draw with the iPhone 14 Pro and 14 Pro Max.
So before we even get into third-party apps, it's weird that even, like, iMessage doesn't work with it. Like, Apple's own...
Yeah, that's fair.
...texting app doesn't work with it. I think we
should be clear, because we made the whole video kind of, like, on this, like, premise of, like, people we thought were confused. Like, is it a new notification scheme or is it just, like, something else? And it is just something else. Like, your notifications, like Dean was saying, your iMessages, like...
It's quick Facebook. Access to widgets.
Yeah, it's like these new widgets that pop up and the phone calls come through, the notifications for phone calls pop through, but that's basically it. Oh, and turn-by-turn navigations. I mean, it's whatever Apple or the developers deem to be a live activity, which is this new, like, widget notification hybrid, but there just isn't any of them because they came along in iOS 16 yet. Is that kind of, does that,
yeah,
does
no,
that
no,
clear
no,
it
think,
up for anyone? Or is that
I think that's accurate. And, like, I have the phones. I've been playing around with them, and third-party support is so limited that, like, I think the only app that I've been able to find is Spotify, right? Because it already has the development API that, like, hooks right into it.
So you, like, now playing interface.
Yeah. So you see the now playing animation there, and, like, it's really neat. I've never seen anything like it, but it seems... Like, I talk about it in the review and I talk about it in the video that will be coming out shortly. It reminds me of the Touch Bar, like, to some extent, because it's contextual. It changes based on what app you're using. And we know how the Touch Bar worked out, right? Like, the Touch Bar seemed really cool. It never panned out. It's basically dead. I think it's still in the 13-inch Pro, am I correct?
Yeah, no, it is. It's in the M2 13-inch Pro, but my money is still on that one, like, being redesigned next year.
And developers never adopted it, right? Like, support was pretty limited. Like, I think Adobe did some stuff with it. We saw some browser stuff with it. But, like, generally speaking,
apps.
That was the killer app for it, man. It was sick. But, yeah, like, it's cool and it's unique. But I think it's going to be a few months before we really see where it ends up, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. What about you, Sean? What do you think? How do you feel about it?
Dynamic island. It's pretty cool. I said before, I don't have the devices on hand, so I can't really talk on it too much. Like, it caught me by surprise saw, like, third-party manufacturer just, look, I could do it too. Not as smooth, probably not as intuitive, but it kind of made me sit back and think, wow, this is what they did, and we're super hyped about it. So I don't know. I feel like, because I love filming with my iPhone, I can't wait until the iPhone becomes, like, actual good second camera for professionals and stuff like that. I was really excited about, like, 4K cinematic mode and also the action mode. Those are things I really want to test out. And just to actually see if the cameras have improved. I'm going to do, like, a iPhone 14 versus 13 camera, like, in battle. Just to see, like, what has really changed. Really well. Is it really worth it? You know, because... That was the main selling point. Is like, I keep telling everyone, like, smartphones seems as if it's reached a plateau right now where it does every phone manufacturer already could make what phones do, make calls, send text messages, receive text message, all that. Everything else is just quality of life features, like things that, you know, better cameras, great battery life, software, how reliable the phone is. Apple took it up a notch, made the SOS things. Hopefully you don't need to use it, but that's if true. You do, like, you know what I mean? So... That's all they could really focus on now. I'm not sure if Apple is just, like, holding back all these features, because if they give us everything one time, then they won't have anything for the next year. So they're just slowly putting out random stuff. But, yeah, for me, it's the cameras this year.
That's kind of like what Pat was saying in his review, like, what separates the 14 Pro and the 14, like, kind of what you're saying is, like, there's sort of, like, more of a sales strategy evident in, like, how the devices are different from each other this year. but also how they're less different from the past. Am I like misquoting you there, Pat, or is that
no? No, that's the, I talk about that a bit. Like, I think they're intentionally like holding some features back from the entry, like the base level 14, to make the Pro seem more appealing. But Siobhan touched on, like, I think one of the key upgrades with the Pro, it's the camera, right? And like, Bennett, you spent a lot of time. I was sending you photos, asking you, like, do you see a difference between these two? Can you add an overlay to them? And like, there's a ton in the review. We compare like low light, the selfie shooter, and like, yeah, 100%, it does look better thanks to the new 48 megapixel sensor that features pixel binning. Dean, I'm going to rely on you to tell me what pixel binning is very, very shortly. But like, the difference is so minute that it's like the law of diminishing returns is like really coming into play this year, where like, it looks better, but does it look that much better? No. And I think if you showed the photos in my review and like the Verge's review, any review, everybody's going to be like, both those photos look fine for the average user. There's not that much of a leap forward. But yeah, Dean,
I think,
go ahead, Bennett. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I think if you take the labels off, it becomes like, you don't, it's almost impossible to like, be like,
that's definitely you can't 14, tell.
That's definitely 13. Yeah.
Another thing, I feel like the 14 should have had some sort of visual change. Like, I was just literally watching someone's case review, and the 13 case fits slap onto the 14 series easily. What do you guys think about that?
I'm actually really just confused like at what the 14 is. Like, is it a different phone, really? Like, there's a plus now? I get that there's software a plus, but like, it's kind
of... Where'd the
like,
plus?
I use the same phone, old chip, right?
Is the it's the same chip. Yeah. I don't really get what it is. What is the... isn't it just the 13?
It was actually really funny, Siobhan. Yesterday the office, Pat had...
I was going to tell you.
14 in the like light blue 14 in like a dark blue case, and the dark blue 13 in a light blue case. And they were literally like exact opposites of each other, but exactly the same. It was really funny.
I even took photos of the wrong one at one point because I thought it was the 14. So that's that, like,
I really,
really
don't know the difference. Like, if you think I'm kidding around here, I actually don't know the difference. I've seen the specs. I wrote the spec sheet. It's almost the exact same. I think the battery changed slightly.
Yeah, but battery got slightly bigger. And
Photonic engine.
Well, crash detection. That's software-wise, but like software-wise, the 12-megapixel main sensor increased in size and aperture.
It's got a wider aperture too.
Did it? Okay.
Quite change, yeah. But like, not enough to change it significantly. Like, we're talking about noticing marginal differences between the 13 Pro and the 14 Pro, which went from like 12 to 48 megapixels. The slightly bigger 12 megapixel sensor on the 13 versus 14 is like an even smaller change.
They should have done iPhone 13s and iPhone 14.
Yeah, that would have been actually cool to go back to the S series, because I think we would have given less flack for that. Maybe that's a bit too intense, but I think that would have been fun, actually.
That's what this would have been like 5 years ago. This would have been like an S upgrade, right? It wouldn't have
totally
been
totally. I really cannot. It's so hard for me to tell the difference. Someone was asking me about it, and I'm like, I honestly don't know. I don't get it.
But that said, there's like another way to look at it too, and I talk about this in the review. Like, for people like us, like tech dudes that get the latest and greatest phones all the time, right? Like, the jump from the 13 to the 14 is not that big, but say you're someone rocking like an iPhone 10, or you're rocking a 10R or something like that, the move to the 14 or the 14 Pro is pretty substantial, right?
Well, yeah, but if you're working on rocking a 10R, that's what it was called, XR, right?
Yeah.
No, 10R. Was it 10R? Yeah.
XR.
I don't remember. Too many iPhones.
But even if you're rocking that phone, I would totally just tell you to get the 13. If you're gonna get a 14, though, just get the 13. It's the same phone.
I literally did that last night. My buddy got a new job. He's like, I might get an iPhone now, and I was like, get one right now and try to get the 13 Pro.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, I mean, if I was going to get a Pro, I'd do the 14 Pro. But if I'm just going to do an iPhone, like a non-Pro,
but if some people really 13 Pro, the specs and everything is going to be.
Yeah.
Some people really don't care about all the islands and the cameras. They really just want a new iPhone. And if you just want to do basic stuff and something that has good battery life, then the 13 Pro is going to get a value for your money.
That's fair.
So, Dean, I mentioned it before, pixel binning. This is something that we've seen other smartphone manufacturers do forever. Like Samsung, you do a lot of our Samsung
Huawei's had it since 2018, I'm pretty sure. So it's been 4 years, I think, since the P20, or maybe the P30, so maybe 2019. But they've had it for a while. Samsung's had it for a while. What it does is it takes the 48 megapixel, and it kind of like groups up the pixels into four bigger pixels.
I actually think, just before you get tuned to this, I actually think it started with the HTC M8 that had a 12 megapixel sensor and was binning down to 8. Yeah, the HTC One.
Ultra Pixel, or they had a name for it.
Yeah, it was called like Ultra Pixel or something.
Ultra Pixel, like, yeah.
He's the HTC fanboy. Now that I think about it.
I completely forgot about that.
But yeah.
Yeah. It was called the Ultra Pixel. But yeah, it reduces like the... Essentially, what will happen is you get more light in your shots because your pixels are now bigger to capture more light, which should help a lot with low light images. It should help with any image because the more light, the better. But it doesn't mean that you're getting like a 48 megapixel quality picture unless you take it in
ProRes
raw, right? And then if you take it in that, you need like a gimbal or something to hold it very steady because the shakier your hands, the it will show in the image.
It generally captures images much slower in our experience on Android.
Also, like very, very few people are going to need a 48 megapixel image, right? Like,
no, it's like, it's kind of like
shot with an iPhone, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It's like kind of like when Samsung has their 108 megapixel phone, but no one really takes 108 megapixel photos. You just take normal 12 megapixel photos, but they look a lot better. That said, I think with the combination of the Pixel bin with Apple's Deep Fusion, or it's not called Deep Fusion.
It's still Deep Fusion, like that sweater
deep
mode
fusion
thing.
Is in the photonic engine, you know, it's piston just pushing it forward.
It's but a bunch of marketing words together, but like all you need to really know is that it's computational photography. It's the like magic that goes on in the background.
They basically Pixel binned Deep Fusion into the photonic engine.
You gotta work for Apple marketing, man. You did it.
I should. Yeah.
With that combination, the phone should take better pictures. I actually don't think I looked at your picture difference. I read it and you said it was slightly better, but I don't think I actually looked at the images.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. How much do you think it's a lot better? And if you compare that to a Pixel 6 Pro that has a 50 megapixel camera, or a S22 Ultra that has a 108 megapixel camera, do these numbers really mean anything?
So like megapixels don't mean a ton. They don't mean a ton, right? Like it's like about the size of the image and that doesn't always like result in a higher quality photo. Like there is an improvement like on the Pro and the base level iPhone. There is like a visible improvement. It's just not that big, right? Like I took a photo of like the backyards behind my house and like you can see if you zoom in on the 14 Pro photo that like it's an overall lighter image that's more uniformly illuminated. The like highlights are a little less blown out. It's like sharper, but you have to like zoom in and you have to like really, really look to see the difference. Yeah. And that's why I like keep talking about the law of diminishing returns. Like these cameras are so good already that when there are improvements, they're never that substantial. Amazing. Right.
Yeah. I would argue too, Patrick, that picture of your backyard that we were examining, the low light one, it's like, that was like really dark too. Like
it was
not
almost
a lot of people
completely
are
dark.
Gonna be in that level of low light and expect a good photo because it's like we're just in the dark.
Unless
we're
you're clubbing,
like pushing these cameras to the limit.
Unless you're clubbing,
but
and I turned night mode off too. To be clear, like, and I did that intentionally just to see like standard how it would perform. But yeah, I think we talked quite a bit about the Pro and the 14 Pro Max. Like there's a few other things in there. Siobhan mentioned them, like the satellite emergency SOS calling, the car crash detection. Like those are really neat features, but they're things that like the average iPhone user is probably never going to end up using. At least you would hope so to some extent.
You can't even test it out.
Like, no, you can't test it. I saw satellite emergency calling like live at Apple Park. They did like a demonstration and a briefing. Really neat. It seems to work quite well. I'm glad it exists. It's unique. It's great Apple's doing it. But it's one of those features that like most people aren't gonna end up using.
Do you think with like the next gen satellite connectivity, we'll be able to send GIFs or no?
That's all I want. I want to get into a car crash, and then I want to send a GIF to emergency services that I've been in a car crash. Like that's all I want in my life, you know?
Hashtag wrecked.
Okay, let's talk about the hashtag wrecked. I almost missed that. Let's talk about the Apple Watch Ultra. For me, I think it was one of the more exciting announcements from the event, just because it's an entirely new product category. It's Apple going after the Garmin market to some extent. Personally, I don't think it's for me. It's a big, bulky watch. I have like pretty thin, slender wrists, and it looked like a G-Shock watch or something on my wrist, and that's not me. But
it looked even bigger than that. Yeah,
it was massive. I did see a lot of coverage where, like, a lot of people like the look of it. Like, they do like that it's big, because big watches are a thing. So, Siobhan, I want to get your take on it first. Like, beyond the features and, like, the functionality and, like, the kind of marketing angle that Apple's going with, like, do you like the look of the Apple Watch Ultra? Do you think it looks cool and stylish?
I think it looks, like, the first time I saw it, like, visually, like, on the screen watching the event, I was like, yo, that's sick. You know what I'm saying? It looks cool.
Okay, cool.
The dedicated buttons on the side look sick. The crown looks crazy good. It looks robust. But then when I saw it on people's wrist, I was like, I don't know. It's kind of big.
Yeah, who knows?
Kind of Ben 10 looking like. but I was watching Marquez's video, and he says it's pretty light. So if it's pretty light, you're getting more battery life. If it's you really need this watch to go scuba diving and hiking and stuff like that, I think it's pretty cool. I have a friend that was asking me if he should buy it because he's broken two Apple Watches recently because he does like kickboxing and stuff like that, and he uses his watch to, you know, track his workouts and stuff. So if it has a tougher screen, longer battery life, and you're really out there scuba diving and living your best life in the jungle, it's for you. Go get it. It's cool.
Aside that's from kind of that, how I felt I think, about it.
Yeah, aside from that, get the 8 or something. I don't know.
It's interesting that Marquez said that it feels lighter, because like when I had it on my wrist, on like in the hands-on area, I was like, my wrist was tired after having it up. Maybe it's like from his semi-pro frisbee.
Yeah, Marquez is a pro athlete. Yeah, you know, you can't compare yourself to him.
Yeah.
I was so tired, man. But yeah, what Bennett and Dean, what did you guys think of the overall design?
Oh, I didn't like it.
I think it's cool. I think it looks cool, but is too big. Yeah, but I like the like thing that goes around the notch, and I like the like orange accent on the extra button. Kind of cool, but
I didn't even think it looked cool. I just thought it looked like a. I think it like I saw the Series 8, and I was like, oh, this is pretty. I might get myself a Series 8. And I saw the Ultra, and I was like, man, this isn't for me. This looks like some outdoorsy shit that I don't care about. It doesn't look.
It definitely has that look.
It's also mad expensive. It's like
that's kind of the craziest part.
Yeah, and also, Dean, it's like $1,000, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's over $1,000, $1,099.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Crazy. I will say, and I know that this is like totally not even close to what I actually predicted, but I was like, I was predicting orange iPhone, but we got a lot of orange in the Apple Watch Ultra. So maybe, you know, orange is there. People care.
So there's some cool utility to it to some extent. Like Siobhan talked about it a little bit. There's a customizable button on the side that you can program to like launch different apps. Again, this is like the same thing that we talked about with the Pro. There's an API that developers have to jack into to make it work with their apps, right? So like when I was playing around with it, you could only really connect it to Apple apps. So if there's like, I was thinking about it, like I sail quite a bit in the summertime. Like, so I have a sailing app that I use on my watch to like track my speed and like where I'm sailing and whatever. I was like, that would be cool to have that watch and like just press that button so that it automatically launches that specific app. That developer that makes the like WindSpeed app I use would have to update their app in order for me to be able to do that. And I don't know if that's going to happen because it's such like a niche app. You know what I mean? Like, so I think big apps will probably be updated to work with the button, but like smaller niche ones might not be, if that makes sense.
It'd be cool if you could program it just to like start a playlist, like, and just like music starts going. That'd be sick.
Yeah, it was kind of surprisingly limited to some extent. And then there's the new straps, like the Alpine Loop. I thought it was really neat. It's like this kind of rugged Velcro strap. I definitely
want to try on the straps like on my existing Apple Watch.
That would be like the most baller move to just get like an Ocean Band and put it on like an Apple Watch SE. That's how you know you're like a true king.
Exactly. Just like go in with like the Hermes band, just like cut it.
put an Hermes band on a Apple Watch Ultra and then go hiking.
That would actually be a huge baller move. That's what you need to do when you get the review unit. You need to just like get an Apple Watch Ultra, get your AirPods Max. I know they're broken. Just put them on your neck. And just like go to the airport and just flex around.
On your neck? Just flex your
His Apple Watch Maxes don't work right now. So he has to, like, I guess you could wear them and just like hear nothing. You could hide your regular AirPods inside your AirPods.
Are you talking about the AirPods Max? No, I got a new pair. They're back there. They work.
Oh, okay.
Got a new pair.
He said Apple Watch Max.
He did. Yeah,
I said everything. I was just grouping it all. Yeah. I was trying to get all the bougie Apple products into one sentence.
And then
it looks like a Mac Pro.
The last band's the Trail Loop. It's just another like kind of Velcro band. There's like a depth sensor, scuba diving features. There's an emergency siren that like I heard a test of at Apple Park, and like it's super loud. I don't know if there's much more that we can really talk about with the Ultra. It's cool. I think it looks neat. It's not for me, right? And I've talked to Bennett a lot about this.
I've got problems to talk about with it.
Okay, I'll throw it to you next, but I'll just finish this thought quick. Sorry. Like for me, like they got to convince the Garmin crowd to buy it, right? And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. Those people they're used to like shelling out tons of money for smartwatches, but they also have to have an Apple Watch. From like what I've read about it, it's not quite as capable as some Garmin smartwatches too. Like it kind of just does a decent job of everything. It's not specialized in a specific area. I think it's going to be a bit of an uphill battle.
Doesn't Garmin watches last like for weeks or something?
Yeah, that's another point.
The high-end ones, yeah.
Yeah. Like the one Apple my brother Watch has. One
is just one day, right? Or 2 days?
Yeah,
it says 36 hours, which I guess is a day and a half.
I thought you could push it to 60 or something.
Yeah.
Low power mode.
We're unclear how much of that like high-end sports stuff that turns off, which is like very against the point. It's like, oh, I need to go in the bush for like 3 days. Gonna put it into low power mode. I can't use satellite tracking anymore.
Now it just turns into a Casio watch.
Yeah, but the issues I was gonna say is like,
yeah, go for
the new like watch faces and stuff. I hate how they always make those exclusive. So like, there's this cool thing you can do in the new one where you like turn the crown and the screen goes like red in like infrared mode.
That was really cool.
How come we all can't do that, you guys? Like that sounds really fun. Like I want a cool like orange watch face that like I turn my crown and it goes red. Like, you know. And like, yeah, a lot of that other stuff too, like the depth sensing stuff too. I'd be interesting to see if like the regular Apple Watch could do that. Like, not that it goes super deep, but like, I don't know, there's like visual like modifiers, the things that it was like showing as it was going down. I thought that was all like really cool and very software based. I was like sad that wasn't trickling down. Maybe it will. But.
It could totally do the night mode, I think. But again, it's like Apple gating the features. The depth sensor, I think, is like a specific piece of hardware inside the watch. But yeah, you're not wrong. Like, there were other cool watch faces too that won't be coming to the Series 8 or the SE that were featured on the Ultra, and that kind of sucks because like I'm gonna review the Ultra. I'm likely gonna get one, but it's not gonna be my daily watch. There's like absolutely no way I can walk around in this world with that giant thing on my wrist.
It'll be huge though. Like you'll get jacked. It's also like it's kind of like last year. It's like when they put out the Series 7. And they were just like, but here's the new Apple Watch Series 7, and it has like a keyboard on it, and like, oh, both sizes, including the small one, can use the keyboard, but like the old watch that's big cannot use the keyboard, you know? So the software stuff that gets gated through Apple Watches year after year is just like always kind of like annoying me, I think. This is less aggressive, but yeah, I'm still salty about that. That's all.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Do we want to move on and quickly talk about the... Well, not quickly. I think everybody has a lot of thoughts on this one.
This is the best one.
Yeah, for me, it was, honestly. Like, I've talked a lot, so I'll say one thing and then I'll shut up and throw it to you guys. One of the things that like really sold me on these was like the show floor at Apple Park was like a super sweaty, noisy mess like it always is, right? Like, that's part of the game of going to these events. Like, you got to jockey for position to get the devices and... It's tough. It's rough. So like I got in at the AirPods one because people weren't particularly excited about them, I guess. There's a bit less of a lineup. and they had them to actually test on the show floor. There's like a bunch of people standing around just with like different pairs, and they would hand them to you as the demo person was like going through their spiel about the product. And I put them in, and the dudes like turn on active noise cancellation, and I expected it to be like a little bit improved over the AirPods Pro, thanks to the new H2 chip and like all the algorithm stuff that Apple's doing with noise cancellation now. And it was like night and day. Like I used my AirPods Pro every day, like the first gen ones. And I like it like blocked out the whole world. It almost felt like I was wearing over ear headphones to some extent. Like that's how good the noise canceling was. I was absolutely shocked in it. I didn't really expect to buy into like what Apple was selling with them. You know what I mean? Like I thought it was just a marketing line, but it wasn't. They worked super well in terms of noise cancellation, and I truly didn't expect that.
Excited to try those then. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I think noise cancellation in buds has been getting better over the last couple of years. I think Apple had to like come back out and punch back into the crowd. If that makes sense.
Well, trying the Pixel Buds Pro yesterday, I was like, oh, this is really good. So I'm excited for the AirPods Pro, because I assume Apple will be better.
Doesn't it scan your ears too or something?
Yeah.
How does that work? It's kind of awkward. So you have to scan your face first by like turning in different directions, kind of like Face ID. And then it asks you to take the phone and put it at the side of your face and move it around kind of like this to scan your ear. But that's only for, what's it called, Brad? Spatial audio?
It's like a specific new, like personalized spatial audio.
And I didn't get to try that personally. I watched a demonstration of it in action, like someone doing the scanning thing. So I don't know if it really, it'll be interesting, I guess I'll say, to see if it really does change the audio experience. Quality of spatial audio.
But you guys are all missing the most important thing about this new AirPods.
You mean when you can
Pro.
Put your Memoji on the case now?
No.
Yeah,
Emoji on the case is kind of cool, but the thing is that you can now find your case. You can use Find My on your
speakers too.
And I lose my Galaxy Buds Pro case, my live case. I've lost the case for this 3 times. I own 4 pairs of these headphones because I keep losing the case, and you can't buy the case by itself.
I'm not lying. You've bought 4 pairs?
So I bought
Samsung Connect.
I bought 3 pairs, I think. And
like
then
with,
Samsung,
you're saying with real money though, right? Like
with
you didn't
real
email
money,
Samsung
and then
and you're
Samsung
like, yo, send me
bought,
new headphones.
I got 3 pairs, and then Samsung the last time was like, oh, we feel bad for you. Here's another pair. I've bought these headphones so much because I love the way they fit in my ear because I have weird ears, and I just needed something that fits better. So I've bought these ones 4 times, and I'm super excited. I'm buying the AirPods Pro on Friday because I'm super excited to just be able to find my case. That's all I need. I'm excited. I can't wait for it. This was the most exciting.
Are you gonna get a wrist strap?
No.
No. What was the standout feature for you with the AirPods Pro? I know like at the top of the podcast, you said that you were excited about them. Like what is the audio quality improvements that you're most interested in?
I think it's just the fit. Like how does it fit? Can I still work out with it? Or do I have to just keep using the Beats Fit Pros? Is the bass a little bit better? The new H2 chip, what does it do? Does it also help with the sound quality, or is it just all Find My stuff? So I'm more big on the sound quality and the fit, honestly. And also the volume controls, that's clutch.
The volume controls were pretty, like, it's another one of those things where, like, I really didn't buy that they would work as well as Apple said. And then I'm trying them, like, on the show floor, and it's just, like, literally, these are the first gen ones, but, like, you just put your thumb behind it, and then you swipe, and it's, you can, like, change them so granularly, like, you can just make, like, little tiny adjustments to the volume, and it moves super slow.
Do you feel any haptics or hear anything while the volume's changing?
There's like a click that you hear, but I don't recall any like haptic vibration or anything like that. Like you know that it's changing. Crazy. Like there is like a click, 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 click sort of thing, but that's it.
How well do they fit like, consistently? Imagine good feeling turning volume haptics. Up on things.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like that's probably something that they could have added in there is like some sort of haptic feedback, right? To like really yeah, feel it beyond crazy. The clip.
That'd have been really cool. Yeah.
How well do they?
A little vibration motor in there.
Sorry, Dean, go ahead. Sound.
I know how you have weird ears as well. How well do they fit?
Yeah, they're not great.
Oh, they're not?
like they still fit like a normal pair of like in-ear wireless headphones, fair right? Ones. Like you have the same issue as me. They fall out all the time. I have to use the smallest one because I have like a pretty small inner ear. They don't compare to the Beats, not the Beats. What are they called? The Galaxy Buds Live, the Beans in terms of comfort.
The Beans are so old now.
They're quite old. They're like 3 years. Nothing's changed with the design though, right?
Refreshed. Yeah.
They come with smaller tips. So if you have like really, really small inside your ears, that should help. But like if you didn't find the first gen AirPods Pro comfortable, you're not going to find the second gen one comfortable either.
That's what I'm most worried about. I think I'll still buy it.
The thing I was going to say earlier, Dean, about the wrist strap is if you get something that's like a bright color, it might just make finding the case a little easier to find as well. I used to do that with things when I was younger. I would like put a red strap on things because I would lose them and then it'd be easier to see if I like dropped it outside and stuff like that.
Yeah, like
I mean, AirPods are pretty bright, but it's an option. I just thought it might be helpful if you do lose cases a lot.
Maybe.
How are you losing your cases?
I forget them on like a GO train or it drops out of my pocket or I don't know. I'm just one of them I left at the TIFF, like Lightbox the theater. Like I left it and I went back and they had them thankfully. But
how do you?
So would you put it? No, don't you just put it in your pockets when you're finished?
It fell out of my pocket when I sat down at the theater.
But how do you lose the case and not the buds, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, are you not putting the buds back in the case?
That one time, I lost the case and the buds. But usually, okay. I have the buds in my ears when I lose the case.
Okay.
Like, I'm listening to music. Yeah.
I guess we'll give you that. I think you need to just put them in a bag or something.
I've never lost a phone before.
On the string that, like, go through the jacket?
He needs the lanyard. Put the lanyard on his wrist.
Earbud,
that's what you say.
Attaches to the case as well.
Yeah, I've never lost like anything except for these earbuds. Like, don't get me wrong, I break stuff all the time, but I don't lose things. So like,
you haven't broken a phone in a long time, though. To be fair, that I'm aware of, anyways. True.
Yeah, S21 Ultra, or long time, 2 years. It's all on me now.
Yeah. S21 Ultra, yeah. I broke that, but I broke that while reviewing the S22 Ultra.
Yeah.
So I think the last thing about the AirPods Pro that's worth mentioning is the battery life's been improved. That was a complaint that a lot of people had about the original ones. A lot of people, like Apple says that you could get like 4 hours from them. I think I only ever got about three, maybe 3.5, particularly like after having them for a while. The second gen ones now can get up to 6 hours on a single charge, which still isn't a full day, like a full work day, but it's pretty good. That's a reasonable improvement, I guess, over what they were previously, I guess, kind of rated for.
And I think it's how like 36 with the case.
Yeah, once you put them in the case, like it with every manufacturer, it extends for like forever. And I think that's one thing that people forget because like I used the first gen AirPods on a flight recently and I had like I don't know if you guys have heard of it, there's like this thing called an AirFly that you like plug into the 3.5 jack and then it wirelessly connects to your headphones so you can use them on a flight. Tried that out for the first time and it made it, and it's to California so it's like 4.5 hours, it made it like 3 hours and 45 minutes or something, and then it died. I was trying to finish a movie so I just put them back in the case for like 10 minutes and they had like a 30% charge, which was enough for me to get like through the rest of the flight and finish the movie. So even though the battery life isn't up to like, I don't know, over your headphone standards, it's like, it's getting there. Like it's improving and it's starting to be a little easier to use.
It's been improved on other earbuds for the last like 2 years. I did not know that the old AirPods Pros were that bad. That is tough. Like, I mean, that's for me, dude, that's like That means they die when I get on the plane, because I've already been in the airport for 3 hours. They probably die in my flight, and then they die when I'm getting out of the airport again. Like, for my trip, because I don't have a Nexus, that would be like how often they would die for me if I had those AirPods.
What headphones have, like, because I used to do a lot of our earbuds reviews, and I don't really do many anymore, so I'm a little out of touch with it. What ones have the longest battery life?
I don't know. Probably like Jabra's still. They always have like some like crazy thing that like pushes way longer, but like without noise cancellation. But I would say with noise cancellation, that like 6 to 7 hour.
Okay.
I would say 5, 6, 7 hour range is where like all the top dogs are playing. So the new AirPod Pros are like in that range. Like that's sort of what I've been used to testing the last like 2 years. But yeah, I would say like the only ones like Nothing Buds were like less than that, and some cheaper ones. But generally, yeah, I would say like 6 hours is pushing like top.
With okay.
Why did you buy something to use your AirPods on the plane?
I didn't. Yeah, they sent also, it to me a really long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try it just out of excitement? Like you didn't have like you didn't watch something on your phone or your iPad or something?
No, there is stuff that I want to watch on the awful screens that are on Air Canada flights. I watched the new Jurassic Park. I've been waiting to see that. I didn't want to pay $20 to watch it on
it's really fun.
Apple TV or whatever.
That's fair.
I didn't like it. I hated that movie. Absolutely. Oh,
I liked it.
Yeah, no, I did. It was not for me. we'll have a conversation after. Yeah. Out of curiosity, Siobhan, because I know you're a music guy, what are your go-to either wireless earbuds or headphones? Like, do you use the AirPods Max? Like, do you prefer Sony? Like, what's your thing?
I rotate through like 4 different type of earbuds or headphones. Sometimes when I'm chilling, just in bed, I get the XM4s. If I'm going outside, like going to grab groceries or just going for a walk, I bring the AirPods 3. If I'm at the gym, I use the Beats Fit Pros. And if I'm just like doing calls, I use the AirPods Pros because it just fits
better. Have you tried the new Beats Fit Pros with like the different colors that they released? That's the Fit Pro, right? Am I
wrong? It's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing that I use. I have the ultraviolet one or something like that. But it's like the best for the gym. So that's the gym ones. But yeah.
Have you tried the XM5s yet?
Mm-mm. I haven't tried it. No. That's what I was trying to sell my XM4 first, but then again, I kind of like the fact that my XM4s fold. XM5.
Yeah, I forgot those ones.
All the fives don't fold?
Yeah,
it doesn't fold. So I was like, I'll keep the XM4s for now.
Yeah, that's probably worth it. That like portability aspect is really nice. It's like...
Okay, let's talk about the last two things. Probably the least interesting, at least for me. So there's the Apple Watch Series 8 and the Apple Watch SE. There's not a ton new in either device. The SE now features the S8 chip. The Series 8 features the S8 chip. It's like the new powerful processor that Apple's putting in its smartwatches. There's a new low power mode. There's also a body temperature sensor, because body temperature can be an indication of illness. It only records at night, and you have to wear it for 5 days to get like a base level, and then it'll start letting you know if there's a fluctuation. There's some cool stuff related to that that's tied to ovulation with women, where they can better predict when they're ovulating if you're trying to get pregnant or something like that. And that's neat, and I think it's relatively unique to the smartwatch space. But generally speaking, like the Series 8 looks absolutely identical to the Series 7. The SE looks absolutely identical to the previous SE. There's really nothing to get excited about, at least for me. And I guess we can just go down the line. Like, Dean, were you interested in either of these in any way? Was there anything that stood out to you that you cared about with them?
No, I was kind of happy they came out so that I can get a cheaper Series 7.
Smart.
Does that happen every year? Like the previous smartwatch, like, is available at a discount every time the new one comes out?
How the hell would I know? I don't know anything.
I don't know
Apple.
If they always do that since the SE came out, but like you could probably scoop one from like a Best Buy or something if you acted fast.
Yeah,
that's true. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
What about you, Siobhan? Like, did the Series 8 or the SE appeal to you in any way, or did they just seem like a really incremental update?
I didn't even see it. I don't know. What's really. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's there. I don't know what it does. What does it do?
There's nothing like really new in it. Like, do you wear an Apple Watch normally? Like, do you have a Series 7?
Only
like
what? I have a Series 7, but only at the gym.
Okay, so Brad, it's not like something you wear. Have you ever seen me
with the Apple Watch outside?
I don't know, man.
I'm wearing regular watches.
Yeah. Okay. I love regular watches, but if I'm at the gym, I have to use the Apple Watch because it tracks. Like, the most annoying thing is going to the gym. I'm like, damn, I didn't bring my Apple Watch. Now it's like I didn't work out, so I have to go back for it. So that's the only time.
Just wear them both. Wear them both at once. Just wear your like regular watch and then put the other one on top of it.
Just get imagine wear a normal two watches.
Just hide it like on your like forearm of your other wrist, like in the winter. Yeah. You'll be wearing level.
Wear a normal watch.
I think it'd be cool if Apple made a ring. Yeah.
Yeah. Just get the Aura ring.
That's what Dean was saying.
Because I literally only use it. Yeah. Me personally, Apple watches are like so. It gives me anxiety. I don't know, like all the notifications, my heart rate, all that is just too much. So I only use it for the gym.
I can relate to that. I remember when it first came out, I was using it as like when I would come home from work, I'd like put my phone away and only have certain notifications come to my wrist. And I thought that was useful and like that was the way that made sense to use the watch. But then I realized like it's basically the same thing as having my phone on me all the time. Anyways, I'm still like looking at these notifications and it's still like gives me a level of anxiety. So I like basically just use it as a normal watch now. Like I use it for fitness tracking stuff, but I get very few notifications to it, like phone calls and texts, and that's it. I used to get emails and like all kinds of stuff, and I don't do that anymore because it's not worthwhile. I think I know the answer to this, but Bennett, is there anything that stood out to you about the Series 8 or the SE?
I mean, the temperature sensor thing, like you said, it's very interesting. There's definitely going to be people that are interested in it, and like, you know, keep on stacking health features into the watches might play into some master plan that we're not seeing. But for me this year, yeah, nothing that's going to make me upgrade. I'm still in a Series 6, still very happy with it. I want the Apple Watch Ultra watch face that I already went over. And the other thing I was thinking about when you were talking about putting your phone away and just using your watch at the end of the day, I was like, but how would I watch TikToks? And then I was like, but imagine a little tiny TikTok app that you can
with the digital crown. You just swipe through it?
You don't even swipe. You just use the crown. You just roll through. Like, that'd be awesome.
I'm surprised. I guess I'm not surprised that doesn't
I think happen. Apple There's knows, no though. Does. Like, right, I think Apple ahead, knows that there's less interest in it, in these watches, yeah, just because of the fact that they added Apple Fitness to phones, right? Like, you can use that
very
cool
good
feature thing now.
I like that.
So, like, I think it understands that.
It's kind of cool, but I don't like working out with my phone, like, on me. It's kind of...
I don't know if you have to have your phone on you. I think it just lets you take the classes without tracking your workouts.
Oh, I thought it was just for, like, counting your steps or...
They already have like Apple. There's already like Apple
Fitness
Health
Plus, so it's like all those like workout programs and stuff that they have, and like the time to walk and like all that kind of like I get workout like fitness.
I got it so confused.
But like you can then access all that. But yeah,
I thought it was just like closing your rings on it and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I assume if you're using your phone, the rings won't be.
No, you can already close your rings on your phone. Like your phone already has Apple.
Yeah, it has fitness tracking.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
to be clear, so
like how, but yeah, you can't like.
It isn't do. I think
you can now check your calories. No,
sorry, not your rings. Sorry, but it does your. Yeah. Sorry, not your rings. It just does your steps and stuff like that. Yeah, because I was comparing my steps with.
Before Bennett, with Apple Fitness Plus, just to like kind of get it straight, like so, you had to have an Apple Watch and an iPhone and an Apple Plus subscription to use it. And now you just need an iPhone. You don't actually have to have the Apple Watch. It's not gated in that way anymore.
Correct. Yeah. It was actually like pretty strange. Like if it's even so, Alex had an Apple Watch Series 3 before her Series 7 now. And it was like, she couldn't use that with Apple Fitness when we were trying it out. So like she could take the classes, but it wouldn't track her, but it wouldn't let her join them if she wasn't wearing the watch or something. It was like, there was all these like strange complications.
I didn't know about that.
And like, then they added something at some point that let you like, if you like, forgot your watch or something, you could still do the classes. Like, cause that happened. And they were like, people were getting really mad because like, I went on vacation and forgot my watch. And like, I can't do my yoga now.
Got it.
Okay. And so they finally like loosened up that. And I think this is like the final kind of like getting rid of most of those like gates, except for the fact that like you need an iPhone, which I still think is like not necessarily the best, because like if you just had an Apple TV or if you just had an iPad,
that's how I would use it.
Like a great place to use it. Yeah, yeah. I would, like, I watch the classes on either Apple TV or iPad or my Mac. I don't even know if you, yeah, you can AirPlay them to the Mac, but
you'd be able to AirPlay.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess like the phone makes the most sense, but it, at that point, just open it up for everybody on everything. I just saw a Pure Later truck roll by. I'm hoping he's got my.
It's camera. Not your camera.
It's your camera. Your camera's arrived.
It's in, so, it got on the truck at 9:30.
We're pretty much at time though. Go ahead. Go.
Can I have your Series 7 when you get the Series 8?
Maybe we'll talk about it after the podcast. But yeah, we're pretty much at time at this point. I want to give everybody an opportunity to, like, if there's anything that you want to talk about tied to the event, like whether it's just like the Far Out keynote, a specific device, something that we haven't touched on, now's your chance to do it. Does anybody have any like final thoughts that they want to bring up?
I'm excited about 4K cinematic mode and action mode. A lot of the reviews dropped this morning, and like Peter McKinnon, who was like a big camera YouTuber, did his like review, and I think he shot all of it on iPhone, and it's insane. So pretty nuts.
What did he say about action mode? Because I tried it, and we talked about it a bit. I did it in portrait mode because I thought that that's how most people would do it. But you had some interesting thoughts about how like it might perform better not in portrait. I wasn't super impressed with it. Did he like it?
Oh, well.
I'm going to be honest. I think that part was more like in the background. I didn't actually like visually see that part. I was just listening. But I think he seemed like overall impressed. But he's generally kind of excited about everything when new iPhones come out, and you just kind of like gotta watch it and make your own opinions.
Yeah.
But like he does it like really professionally, like shot it in Pro Raw, like, you know, color graded it all, and like tested a lot of different stuff. It's pretty cool. But the other action mode shots that I've just kind of seen people playing with, it seems all right. But yeah, I think just like kind of a side feature. It's almost like cinematic mode last year, where it's like you're not going to shoot a whole video with this, but you know, you might have one or two shots that you can like now use. And it's kind of cool that Apple's like, well, I don't know how exactly I feel about it. I like all these cinematography tools, but Apple's like camera app is starting to get like more and more close to like an Android app with all these like crazy extra features. But we still can't like control white balance and like these really basic things, which is kind of annoying. So that's all I got.
Dean, did you have any final thoughts other than wanting my Series 7?
I'm just excited for the dynamic island to do more things. I think eventually it will do cool things. And I'm curious to see if Androids will copy it. Like if we'll see like a Pixel doing some dynamic thing with its hole punch.
Samsung out. Next year.
Samsung is too slow. It would have to be the S24.
I think they're going to do something
Samsung
next year.
Software is not
they're going to do something next year. I'm like, I would bet a substantial amount of money.
Really? You think so?
Samsung's got like 100 developers making something right now.
Yeah. Maybe. It's actually interesting. It'll be interesting to see. Cause like, as we kind of were saying, like, it seems like the third party support is what's going to really make or break this. And we know like traditionally on Android that gets even more lackluster. So.
Yeah, but even, it's cool that even like already I was trying out your iPhone yesterday, and it's cool that you could see like Spotify already has support for it, right? So I think things
Well, that's just because Spotify uses the Now Playing API. So like that's how, you know, every
it's
app
already built
plays
in.
Music can like show up on the lock screen.
That's
so
fair,
what actually is interesting about that is, remember when we tried to do Apple TV Plus and it also went up there and then glitched out? That's because Apple TV Plus uses the Now Playing API. But there's no reason or widget for Apple TV Plus when it goes into the dynamic island. So it's like there are these issues. We might see stuff like that moving forward. Yeah, it's kind of
That is interesting. I didn't think about either. But yeah, it'd be cool to see how that evolves. I want to see it evolve into something cool and new and exciting. Because when I get my iPhone 14 Pro, I'm going to just be waiting. I'm going to be just every single day. I'm going to hope that there's going to be a new update for it. Or at least for iOS.
Cool. There's a virtual pet app that we can get up in there.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
There, so check Slack after. There's already like a game that uses the island. You have to like bounce a ball around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pong thing. All right, last but not least, Siobhan, is there any like final thoughts that you have about the event or any of the devices that were revealed? Oh, I think his mic's...
You're muted, buddy.
Yeah, could you repeat?
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay, what'd you say again?
Just any final thoughts about the event, the devices, anything like that. Anything you want to say before we like go into the outro.
Before. I don't know. I think it was like I'm just trying to like sit back and appreciate like everyone who is coming from an older device and not to really get upset about like those minor features and just understand that you know, like Apple just can't give us everything, or else what would they do in the next couple of years? They probably can't release a phone in next year. So that's one thing I have to try and understand right now. And that not every new update is for me. Yes, from a reviewer perspective, it's kind of boring. I'm like, bro, I wanted this. I wanted reverse wireless charging. I wanted fingerprints on the, you know, side of the power button. You know what I mean? So like small features like that. But yeah, aside from that, I'm just really excited to get these devices in my hands, test them out, make great videos, give my honest opinions, and yeah, small upgrades this year, but I think there's a phone for everyone depending on what device you're coming from. So yeah,
that's a good perspective to have. Like, I think people like us that get all of these devices and we write about them and make videos about them, we often forget that like not everything added to whatever device we're writing about or making a video about is for us, right? Like, and even though like this is a very minor jump from the 13 to the 14, if someone's using an 11, like before the OLED screen made it to the iPhone, like this could be the year that it makes sense for them to buy a new one, right? So that's definitely important context to keep in mind.
It's good. It's kind of like the same thing with car manufacturers. I don't know if it's a good comparison, but like not every new year, a new car has like a, you know, a new upgrade. You know what I mean? Like people want to keep their cars for like 3 to 4 years sometimes. I guess it's the same thing now with iPhones. Like every iPhone can take you from point A to point B like a car. So it's really just when it dies down that you should try to get an upgrade. So
I feel like I see a lot of like 4 or 5 year old iPhones out there nowadays too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lot of iPhone 10s, a lot of iPhone 11s.
I guess I know a lot about
3, but
I know a lot about dying cars. My car feels like it's about to die. Getting it serviced today, hoping for like
it's time for a substantial bill. You know.
I bought an Ioniq 5, but who knows when that's coming, man. It could be like 2 years at this point, so we'll see.
See it.
All right, that's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. I have a bunch of reviews on the site. I think my iPhone 14 Pro review will be up by the time you listen to this. It is up, actually. My iPhone 14 up, right? Review will be up. My Series 8 review will be up as well. Doing something with the SE, probably not a full review. That should also likely be up by the time this hits on Friday. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_Rourke, and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you? And do you have any like recent stories or videos you wanna plug and highlight?
I don't have much, honestly. Since the last podcast, I did the video. I edited Pat's video of the iPhone 14 Pro, just hands on. Hopefully, I think the Dynamic Island video will probably come out before the podcast, but those will probably come up around the same time. So I don't have a whole lot going on in like my stable right now. I put up a small comparison showing off some like DJI Avata first person stuff over the weekend.
Brad, I can't wait to try that. Do you still have it?
It's pretty crazy, actually. Yeah, I still have
it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I'm coming over now.
Yeah, I still need to do like a full video or something on it. But yeah, it's really, really fun. It's like, it's so sketchy. There's like parts where I'm flying it under bridges. It's nuts. But that's kind of all I've
been up to. Are you making a video about it?
I don't know, maybe like something I want to, but also like just things are coming hot and heavy. I guess actually right now I'm waiting for like the brand new Fujifilm XH2S to like arrive at my door today, and I'm really excited to do coverage on that. And then the new iPhones and the Pixels will come up, and that'll be faster than we expect, I think.
Yeah. It's just around the corner. Dean, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at The Daily Dean.
Do you have anything that you want to highlight?
No, I'm good. Something to highlight.
Okay, cool. Last but not least, Siobhan, where can people find you? And is there anything that you want to plug? Thanks again, as always, for coming on the show.
For sure. Appreciate it. You could find me on Instagram, SiobhanSalmon_. Over on TikTok is where I post like funny Apple stuff, trolling people, making tech fun. You can find me over on TikTok and also my YouTube channel, SiobhanSalmon on YouTube. And my Gumroad, I'm actually like walking around Toronto, like taking cool pictures of buildings and stuff that work well with our 16 lock screen. So that's a little side project I'm working on right now. So check out my Gumroad store. I have cool wallpapers over there.
CN Tower one that was like really nice for the lock screen.
But yeah, that's it. Appreciate you guys having me to talk about tech, and yeah, can't wait to be on here again sometime.
Cool. And you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mobilesyrup. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Peace.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.